1 Corinthians chapter 12 and from verse 1, and I'm going to read from the King James version of the Bible. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, even as you were led. For this reason, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these works that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally and as he will. We have begun a series, we began last week looking at the gifts or the manifestation of the Spirit. I prefer the word manifestation really, there in verse 7. How the Holy Spirit wants to manifest himself within a body of his people, such as here at Bethel Christian Assembly. I did an overview. We looked at the whole of 1 Corinthians 12. Up to verse 13 anyway, and we also considered something from Psalm 46. If you weren't with us last week, and I intend to be with us for the next few weeks, can I encourage you to listen to what I had to say online? It will be a useful introduction. But we finished by looking at these nine gifts of the Spirit, so-called, and categorizing them into three groups of three. And I'll repeat that now. There are three revelatory gifts. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. There are three gifts of utterance, which are prophecy, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And then there are three gifts of power, which are faith in verse 9, gifts of healing. I inadvertently got this wrong last week. It's actually a plural in both words. It's gifts of healings. If you just look over to verse 28, you'll see that it's there translated correctly as gifts of healings in the plural. It should be the same here in verse 9. I'm not sure why it wasn't put in, but that's by the by. The third gift of power is the working of miracles. So, God willing, we're going to begin looking at these gifts. We may look at one or two each week as we go through between now and probably the middle of July. But we're going to begin with two of the gifts of revelation. I'm going to take the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom in that order, because I think it might be helpful for us to understand the difference. But before we do, can I just sort of make a general comment, which is that although we're looking at these manifestation of the Spirit, definition is certainly possible. I trust that as we go through, you will be helped in your understanding. We will all be helped in our understanding of what these gifts are. But in practice, they're not always easy to define or to recognize. The emphasis is on the body of Christ, and some of these gifts, they can be combined and they can overlap. So whilst we need to understand them, actually they're not always easy to categorize when we actually experience them. So what is this word of knowledge then, to begin with this? I think we need for both of them to consider what this word means. I read the King James Version. I could have read to you the New American Standard or the New King James, because it's translated as word on both those times. If you have another version, such as the NIV, it will say a message of wisdom or a message of knowledge. If you've got an ESV, it will say an utterance. The Greek word is the word logos. And whilst it is indeed something that is said, essentially the word logos, as in John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word, the logos is more to do with the thought or the reason or the embodiment of that thought or reason rather than actually what is spoken. So the Lord Jesus is the embodiment of the mind, the will, the purpose, the reason, if you like, of God. It's a word that can be translated in all sorts of ways. It includes those things, even the motive. So it is the word being made flesh is the revelation of the thought and the character of God in human form. It is not so much, therefore, a message or an utterance of knowledge or wisdom that we're considering here this morning, but rather a fragment of the knowledge. That's why it's a gift of revelation. It is something of the knowledge of God or the wisdom of God that is given to us. Maybe just to help understand this, let's look at what the word of knowledge is not. And I'm saying these things, they may be obvious to some of us, but I hope it'll clear up some confusion. So the gift of the word of knowledge is nothing to do with natural learning or enlightenment. If it was, these things would be accomplishments rather than a gift. So it's not dependent on how much you know or how much you have been enlightened. It does not come by ability, observation, reading, or study. Secondly, the knowledge that is spoken of here is not the knowledge of the Word of God. So it's a different kind of knowledge from what is mentioned, for example, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, where Paul prays for all the believers that God would give to them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. We are all called to have a knowledge of God. This is eternal life, said Jesus, to know you who alone are truly God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. We all need the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation to come to bring us into a fuller knowledge of the Lord. That is not what is being spoken of here. This knowledge here in Ephesians 1 applies to us all, and it comes over a period of time, and it certainly comes with experience. Paul prayed very similarly to the Colossians in chapter 1. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will." A word of knowledge is not the knowledge of the will of God. We all need to know what the will of God is and to understand that, but that is not what is being spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12. Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This kind of wisdom, this kind of spiritual understanding, we need to grow into. That is not the gift that is being spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12. Thirdly, a word of knowledge is not the ability to understand the scripture or to interpret it. That too would depend on our maturity and on our study as well. So, what is this word of knowledge? It is a fragment, it is a word, it is not the sum total of knowledge, it is a fragment of God's all knowledge given supernaturally on any occasion to any one of the people of God. It is a gift. It is not an acquisition. It's not given to you for the rest of your life. It's given on that particular occasion for a time. For example, here is a kind of a comparison, if you like. There was a time some years ago in our house when some very strange marks appeared on one of the walls. We didn't know what the matter was. The room certainly needed to be decorated, and we weren't sure what was going on with this and why these marks were appearing. So we rang up an all-knowing decorator. Actually, we had to ring up an all-knowing plumber as well, because the problem was to do with the bath leaking, but that's by the by. I'm clueless about these sort of things. The wife is almost as clueless, not quite. So we had a decorator round, and we had a plumber round. And from their knowledge, they said, well, this is what the problem is. You've got a leak. The decorator could have said, well, actually, all you need to do, I mean, perhaps all I could have done, all I needed to have done, I thought, was to slap on a few coats of paint, and the problem would go away. But of course it wouldn't have done. The marks would have simply reappeared. So I wasn't asking the decorator to teach me everything about how to decorate. Maybe I should have done. I certainly wouldn't have been able to handle the all knowledge that the plumber would have given me on how to handle this particular problem and other problems as well. Then I would not have needed a plumber or a decorator ever again. But just on this particular occasion, I needed their knowledge. I needed their insight in order. And it was a fragment of it. I didn't need to have a plumbing degree. I didn't need to have all the books on how to plumb or how not to plumb or how not to decorate or how to decorate. I just needed their advice. I just needed their insight on this particular occasion as to what the problem was. And there are probably other examples that you can think of as well. In the spiritual realm, that is what is being talked about here. Are there examples in the Old Testament? Most certainly there are. And I trust that as we go through these nine gifts, you'll be encouraged actually to see, oh yes, these are not sort of things that suddenly sort of appeared in the Corinthian church or at the time of the apostles. No, these things have been in the Word of God throughout history, with the exception of one or two, exception of one, which is the gift of tongues. That was reserved specifically for the New Testament times. But there are examples of the word of knowledge being given in the Old Testament. So, for example, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 9 to 12. We may not have time to look at all these, but I will certainly give you the references. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 9 to 12. This is an occasion when the king of Syria was fighting against Israel, and he took counsel with his servants, saying that he was going to pitch his camp in a certain place. And actually what happened to him was that every time he tried to fight against Israel, he discovered that the Israelites already knew where he was camped, and therefore they stalled his campaign. And in desperation, he says in verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called for his servants, and he said, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He thought he'd got a traitor in the midst. And one of his servants said, none, O Lord, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. This is a word of knowledge. So as Elisha is in the presence of God, God shows him exactly where the Syrian camp is and deals with it accordingly. So that's an example of the word of knowledge. In the New Testament, on one occasion, there were two believers. I wonder what your reaction would have been if you'd been there at the time in an assembly of God's people. There was one occasion when Peter confronted Ananias and Sapphira, not together, one after the other, and the Lord had shown him that actually these two were not telling the truth in how they were dealing with their financial affairs, and they both lost their lives as a result. How did Peter know what was going on? How did Peter know the hearts of this couple? The Lord showed him. It was through the gift of a word of knowledge. There was no prophecy with it. There was nothing mystical about it. It was just simply a fragment of God's knowledge being shown to the apostle at this particular time. You might like to look at 2 Kings 5 and verses 20 to 27 at some point for a similar example where the knowledge of God exposes corruption like that. Or what about the Lord Jesus talking to a woman by a well? Do you remember? And he says to her, "Woman, you're right in saying you haven't got a husband. You've actually had seven. My wife tells me five. I think it's five. You've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with now isn't your husband." How did the Lord Jesus know that? It was through a word of knowledge. On another occasion, God said he would give the people a king. He would give them their request. And so they drew lots, the Israelites, and it all hinged on this good-looking, strapping young man called Saul, the son of Kish, who was a Benjamite. The trouble was, he was nowhere to be found. So Samuel said, "Lord, where is he?" And the Lord said, "He's hiding among the baggage." That's where he was. It was a word of knowledge. So these are examples of what a word of knowledge is. Jesus, on a number of occasions, do you remember, it says Jesus knew what was in their hearts. My friends, how desperately we need this gift, or to be able to operate in this gift today. There are people that we have to deal with, and we don't know what's in their hearts, but the Lord does. The Lord knows, and we need to be available to the Lord just to show us what is in the heart of the person who we're dealing with. Otherwise, we're simply bringing our own counsel and our own wisdom. I mean, so much of psycho something or other, is done over months sometimes, even years. Why? Because the counsellor is struggling to know what is at the heart of the problem of the person who's being helped, seeking for help. How much easier it would be if the Lord was to say, "Actually, the problem is this," and the Lord puts his finger upon it straight away. I have to say, I've seen that happen. Certainly a few times in my own experience, in my own life. If somebody's come to me and asked, or come to us and asked for prayer, there's been a problem, and really, you know, we don't know what the issue is. And very often I've said, both of us, Fiona and I have said, "We can't help you, only the Lord can help you. We don't know what the problem is, but the Lord knows, let's ask him." So we come to the Lord, having perhaps, you know, shared a little bit first of all, and the conversation's opened up, and we say, "Now, Lord, please, will you shine your light? Please, would you reveal what is going on? Will you reveal the problem? Will you reveal the heart of it, the root of it?" And we wait upon the Lord. And, I mean, not, it hasn't always happened like this, please, but just certainly there have been times when the Lord has impressed upon either one of our hearts, sometimes both of us, something different, just what is needed, or just what the problem really is. My friends, I would suggest to you that is a word of knowledge. And in a sense, it's nothing more nor less than that. All right? I didn't say, "I believe I have a word of knowledge." It was just gloriously simple, really. Just say, "I just believe the Lord is saying this. I believe the Lord is showing this. Can I share this with you?" And so you share and you say, "Yeah, but actually, yes, that's true." We need to depend on these manifestation of the Spirit if we're going to help people in this kind of a way. Only the Lord knows the thoughts and the reasonings of people's heart. Only the Lord knows really what is at the heart of a problem, and therefore being able to deal with it. Let me just say at this point, if the Lord shows you what the heart of the matter is, or if he gives you a word of knowledge, that does not automatically imply that you have the authority to deal with it. I'll say that again, that does not automatically apply that you have the authority to deal with it. It is simply a gift of revelation, and the Lord shows you something. A word of wisdom is different. In what way? A word of wisdom is a fragment of divine purpose. It's not to do with knowledge, although it's related to it. God has all knowledge of everything throughout time, past, present, and future, because he's a God of foreknowledge. But wisdom is to do with God's power to determine future events, and it's to do with his counsel and the giving of his mind and will in order for his purposes to be accomplished. A word of wisdom, therefore, is God showing a person what he is going to do by revealing sometimes a future event, but certainly giving something of his counsel and his will. It includes, therefore, the giving of commands and instructions relating to those events. A word of wisdom is based on the knowledge of something present and past and future, but it's with that the power to enforce that particular will and that counsel. A prophecy, when these things are spoken, as in a word of prophecy, a word of prophecy may include a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. So there's a degree of combination and a degree of overlap here. Before I give you some examples of those, of this particular gift, can I perhaps again, for the sake of clarity, tell you what a word of wisdom is not? It is not, again, intellectual ability. It is not administrative wisdom. It is not personal wisdom. You know, some people are very wise, in inverted commas, in how they deal with people. They're very prudent, you might like to say. They're very discreet. A word of wisdom is not that kind of gift at dealing with people. Wisdom is not spiritual insight. Again, it's the same kind of correction as I gave for a word of knowledge. Ephesians 1 and verse 17 talks about being filled, a spirit of wisdom. That is not what a word of wisdom is to do with. A word of wisdom is not biblical preaching, which is a gift of utterance. Preaching is obviously to do with the ministry of the preacher, or the ministry of the elder, or whoever's actually bringing the word at that time. Neither is it the wisdom that is being talked about in James chapter 1 and verse 5. There, if anybody lack wisdom, let him ask God who can give. And thank God, like Solomon, we can all ask for wisdom. The wisdom that the Bible speaks very often is defined as the fear of the Lord. We all need that kind of wisdom. So let's look at some examples of a word of wisdom. The earliest, I think, we can find in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, where God reveals to Noah what he is going to do. It is a word of wisdom. Yes, it's a conversation between God and his servant, but God is showing Noah what he is going to do. He's going to bring judgment and disaster upon the earth by a flood. And with that, he is going to give the instructions to Noah very specifically as to what to do about it. Now, Noah could have heard what God was going to do, and he could have said, right, in that case, this is what we need to do. And he could have thought of all sorts of remedies. He could have, I don't know, tried to find a cave somewhere or climbed on the highest mountain. I mean, how can Noah naturally know the measurements for the ark that was going to contain two of every kind? And I think people have replicated the ark, and I understand that scientists have looked at the measurements of the ark, and they've been absolutely amazed at the wisdom, to use that word, behind the building of the ark. Nothing else could have coped with such a cataclysmic event, and God alone knew how to bring him through the flood. It was a word of wisdom. And friends, there are times when we go through the most horrendous circumstances, and naturally we don't know how to come through those things, but God can give us a word of wisdom. He can show us exactly how to handle the situation, what we need to do about it. Or you might think again in the book of Genesis, chapter 19 and verses 12 and 13. Where the Lord, speaking to Lot, says, I'm going to destroy this place. This is what you need to do. Get out of it and find somewhere else. It's a very simple command, but it expresses the intention of God to do something and the counsel and the wisdom of God to know how we should respond in that situation. Another example, also in the book of Genesis, it's to reveal the plans of God. This is where I think the matter of dreams and the interpretation of dreams comes in. So Pharaoh has two dreams, giving the same message, but God gives it twice to confirm it. The interpretation of that dream, the content of that dream and the interpretation of that dream and the wisdom to know how to respond to that dream is given to Joseph. So Joseph says to Pharaoh, God is going to send 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And this is what you should do about it. Friends, it's a word of wisdom. How else would Joseph have known either the dream or its interpretation or what to do about it, how to respond unless God had shown him? We could say similarly the word of the prophet Samuel regarding Eli. God showed the little child Samuel exactly what God was going to do with the family of Eli and also what to do about it. There are so many examples. I would even include something of the vision of the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. A word of knowledge, you might say, was what revealed the state of the churches in the opening, in the second and third chapters. But what to do about it and the response that was required was contained in a word of wisdom. The whole thing was spoken. That was prophetic. But the content of it was a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. I would even say that it's a word of wisdom that gives Paul, the Apostle Paul, a supernatural understanding of what is going to happen at the end to the resurrection of the body. In Romans chapter 11, similarly, regarding God's purposes for Israel, to do with the tabernacle and all that that Moses had to receive, there are numerous examples. More up to date, there are, I think, at least three examples that I could mention. I'll put them all together, where God has shown very specifically to certain people on a journey what they should do. I think the obvious one, I think, is Jackie Pullinger immediately comes to mind. God had told this woman who was trained at the Royal Academy of Music and had destined for a musical career, and God showed her that she needed to go out to Hong Kong. What's the name of her book? Chasing the Dragon, that's right. If you haven't read it, do get it. And she, God says to her, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get on a boat. And she seeks for counsel. You know, I mean, this is not the sort of thing you should do. You know, you don't sort of do something as mad as that. You know, if you're expected to go on a certain path, a career path, you don't just sort of abandon ship. Do something totally different unless you're absolutely convinced it is of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to her. And she wisely went to seek counsel, and the counsel that was given to her was equally wise. Jackie, if the Lord has shown you to get on a boat, and he will tell you when to get off. So she got a one-way ticket. I don't know how far it was going to be. When she got to Hong Kong, the Lord said, this is where I want you to get off. Friends, I think this is something of a word of wisdom. I can think of other examples where other people, other servants of God, maybe in really difficult situations, missionary situations, where they've needed direction, where they've needed even angelic help in getting from A to B in order to be saved from a certain situation, and God has spoken to them, this is what you need to do. And I'm just not, sometimes it's been very specific like this. Go down that street, turn right, turn left, etc. I mean, how else would the man Ananias know where Paul was living? Or what to do about it? It was through a word of wisdom. Well, friends, I suggest to you that we desperately need these gifts in the days in which we live. We desperately need to be open to the Lord, available to the Lord, for the Lord to show us how to respond, what he's going to do in any particular situation. Neither gift has to be shared or spoken. It doesn't depend on our maturity, it depends on our availability. Well, may God help us, and may God help us and lead us so that we can begin to share the things that the Lord is putting upon our hearts, so that we can begin to experience these things and grow in our confidence in knowing what is of God and what isn't. Obviously, these things, when they are shared, eventually they need to be discerned. They need to be weighed. In the context of a church like this, it's very much up to the leader, the people who are leading the service, the meeting. In the context of a fellowship group, it's the person who's leading the fellowship group. And the purpose of fellowship groups, amongst other things, is in order for us to gain experience. We don't always get it right. Can remember on one occasion, perhaps I can just sort of interject here, this, you know, the trouble is, I think there are various sort of counterfeits that are appearing. I mean, maybe you've had the experience that I had on one occasion. This was meant to be a word of knowledge. So we're all having a pray about something, I can't remember what it was, and one of the ladies in the meeting, this happened a long time ago, she said, "I believe the Lord is showing me a cauliflower." Well, I mean, I tell you, it absolutely killed the prayer meeting. Because then, of course, we spent the next half an hour, what's the Lord saying through a cauliflower? It's difficult, isn't it? I think with hindsight, actually, I'm not sure that that was of the Lord. I think if the Lord was showing her something, she would be better to have waited and said, "Now, Lord, what are you saying? What is the, you know, what are you saying through this?" Rather than to give the cauliflower, and then we all wonder what on earth a cauliflower is meant to represent. And of course, we all had as many opinions as there were participants in the prayer meeting. And some people, you've probably been to meetings where, put it like this, there are more pictures that are shared than can actually be fitted on the walls of the room where the meeting is. I actually don't like the word picture. I think it's better to call it what it is, which is a word of knowledge. But I think the Lord is very specific in what he shares. And if there's any doubt, you just need to just weigh it up. But we don't always get it right. So the context of a fellowship group is in order for us to gain experience and to learn of these things. Maybe practically we ought to think about how to manage some of these things. But if you feel that the Lord is showing you something in a meeting, just remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 4:14. It says, "How is it then, brethren, when you gather together, any one of you can have a revelation?" And what is the revelation? It can be either a gift of a word of knowledge or a gift of a word of wisdom. So if as we meet together you feel that the Lord is revealing something to you, please don't sit on it. Just do come and share it with us. And if you're not sure, you know, whether it's of the Lord, just come to the front and just have a word with us. And we'll try and weigh it up, and we'll seek the wisdom of God to know how to handle these things. But if you don't share it, and of course you need to know whether it is from the Lord to be shared or not on that occasion, I mean, please, you know, I know of one person who, in a meeting, the Lord showed him very clearly, and he wasn't leading the meeting, the Lord showed him very clearly that there was, this particular person was living in an immoral relationship. Now, please, that is not, he should not have, and he didn't, thank God, come to the front and say, the Lord showed me very clearly that you at the back are living in this particular kind of... No, he sat on it, but actually he went to that person, or I think that person came to him and said, "How are you, brother? So nice to see you." And he said, "Well, I'm not well at all. The Lord has shown me something about you." So it was a one-to-one conversation that they had. And that was how the matter was dealt with. That's a better way of handling it. But if it's something for us all, then just come to the front and begin to share these things. Please, we're all learning. But the Lord wants there to be a manifestation of the Spirit so that all may profit. The gift is not to you as an individual, it's to the body as a whole. Shall we pray, please?